Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of Polititalk with Lane Palmer. Today on the podcast, I have my friend Ben. So Ben, as always, when we start, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to have the political mindset that you have.
All right. Well, first of all, thank you for having me on here. Secondly, a little bit about myself. So 25, graduated from college a couple of years ago with degrees in accounting, finance, and economics. So little much. Currently working on getting my CPA license and currently do corporate taxation. So nothing revolutionary, but business focused. In terms of how my political beliefs came to be, I grew up in a house where people were very divided. So my family, my mother in particular, is moderate leaning left. My father is moderate leaning right. And then one of my aunts is an extreme hardcore religious conservative, lives out in the middle of the Amish country, very Baptist, very strict. And then the other side of my family is extremely, extremely liberal. Like, one of my aunts has a, I swear I'm not fucking with you, she has a gold-framed picture of Obama on her fucking mantelpiece, like, right next to the family pictures. And I have never, whatever. And the important thing is that, you know, I come from a bit of a mixed family.
Mm-hmm. How was it growing up like that, being surrounded by so many different mindsets?
Growing up, it was hard. Because everyone would fight and everyone would argue, and because the majority of my family is barely high school educated, it meant that people weren't really talking about, they weren't really talking about ideas, they were talking more about feelings. So it was like, I feel that the Republicans are this, I feel that the Democrats are doing this. Obviously they weren't saying it quite as eloquently or as nicely as that. There were a lot more swear words, but you can't really argue with feelings in that way. Like, you have to sort of approach it with, like, well, this is what's happening. How do we approach it? Rather than just, like, screaming. So it was hard growing up in that. But then as I've gotten older, I have appreciated seeing different sides to things for different reasons. Because, you know, some people in my family were conservative because of religious reasons. And some of them were conservative for economic reasons or for militaristic reasons, etc. And the same thing for the Democrats. So it sort of gave me a broad perspective on why people would have opinions. And not just that they're brainwashed or they were born into it or they hate X person or they love X person. Like, it was more of just like, y'all came to these conclusions for a variety of reasons, and you all disagree with each other, even when you're a Democrat or even when you're a Republican. So it gave me an appreciation for the broad sort of perspectives that you can have.
So if you were to take a word or a phrase to define who you are currently, what would you say?
Just irritated centrist.
Elaborate.
I mean, I hate both parties. I think neither party really wants to move anything forward. I think that the Republicans want to be stuck in the past and don't really want to reach out to other groups of people. And I think the Democrats are the exact same way, typically. They want to be in a bubble. They want to be in a sphere. And God forbid you ever reach out across the aisle and understand why people think the way that they do. You know, how many times have you heard a Democrat say that, you know, the Republicans are all basically half dead idiots, you know what I mean? And they all deserve to die. And once they die, they'll be so much better off. And oh my God, they're just hateful, evil morons. And the Republicans will obviously say, you know, all the Democrats are evil communists who are trying to turn their kids gay and destroy the fabric of the universe somehow, etc. And it's like, all of that is just political theater, because when you really look at what each person does, like, I didn't notice a change to the Iraq war depending on if Obama was in charge or Trump. I didn't notice a change to the economic situations depending on who was doing what. We still refused to move away from manufacturing. We still refused to, you know, maybe accept that we weren't number one in the world anymore. We refused to improve education. We refused to improve anything regarding gun control or infrastructure or much of anything, really. And so at the end of the day, it's like, oh, So neither party really wants to change things. They just want to keep their own power base. And that can be disheartening because it doesn't really matter at the end of the day what political opinions I have sometimes, because I'm stuck between two choices and neither of them want to give me what I want.
What is it that you want?
I mean, really, I just want to be left the fuck alone. You know what I mean? Like, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't want people to give a shit that I'm gay, but I also don't want people to be, like, lavishing accolades upon me for coming out. It's more of just, like, leave me alone, let me live my life, let me do my own thing, right? It's the same thing with most of my life, really. It's just, like, I don't see why, you know, I need the government or people in general telling me who I need to be or what I need to be, what I need to believe in or think. It's like, I'm a perfectly functional adult in most respects. I feel like I should be allowed to come to my own conclusions without being screamed at.
So we know that 2022 is a midterm election year, and a lot of people have different ideas of what the outcome will be. Do you have any insight into what you think might happen, or?
Oh, the Republicans are going to sweep it, dude. I mean, like, I don't know what, why you would think the Democrats are going to win this one. Usually, historically, the party that is in charge loses seats. That's just, like, what's happening. And then secondly, you look at Biden. Most people don't like him. Most people don't approve of him. Right or wrong, that's what's happening. And putting your head in the sand and saying, oh, no, but the Democrats will win and the Republicans can never win again. It's like, no, no, no. Like, if you look outside, people are pissed. And more senior Democrats are retiring. It's the same thing that happened in 2018. It's just that we're on the other side of the mirror right now. So I think the Democrats are going to get absolutely dick slapped in 2022. That's what I think, at least.
Now, are you yourself voting in the midterms, or have you decided yet?
I've decided. I haven't decided who or what I'm voting for yet. I want to take a look at who's running. Am I allowed to state where we are from?
Yeah.
Right. So, shut up. So, I'm from Ohio. So, I need to sort of decide, all right, who are the candidates running? What do they actually say? What's their track record look like? And sort of go from there, because I don't think it's of any use to vote according to a national ideal, because I'm looking for someone who will affect my life, my taxes, my education, my infrastructure, and a national level is great, like, don't get me wrong, but I need somebody who will agree with me on a state level in order to get smaller things done that'll impact my day-to-day, right? So that's ultimately what I need to look for.
What is an ideal candidate for you? What policies do they endorse? What do they stand for? Who is somebody that you would vote for?
I mean, I'd vote for myself, obviously.
What would your policies be?
No, I think that, first of all, I would prefer to have a nationalized healthcare system. I think that the cost that, you know, for example, my father pays for cancer treatments has been doing so for about 10 years now, because he has... he's had stage 4 melanoma, and then it receded and then it came back. The whole extent of that is obscene, right? And, you know, my mother wants to take care of him, wants to help him, can't because of the Affordable Care Act, needs 31 hours minimum work. Well, okay. Well, I don't know what happens when she gets too old to retire, if that policy is still in place, right? I would want ease of access for international students or legal immigrants to have a path towards either citizenship or visas. Right now, the border is incredibly weak, and that's fine. I don't mind people coming over through legal channels. It's just the legal channels are dog shit. And there's absolutely no reason why my boyfriend, who speaks four languages and has a master's degree, needs to go through a more strict, more rigorous process to become a legal citizen than someone who's illegal and just wants to be here. It makes absolutely no sense why it's not merit-based. I'm not saying don't give people a solution. I'm saying, hey, maybe fucking treat people legally better. In terms of infrastructure, the Biden administration isn't doing enough. Everyone likes to wax poetic about build back better. But when you look at like, oh, it's 500 billion, let's say, over 10 years. Okay, divide that by 10. It's 50 billion. That's not much, especially when you see how much, I don't know, China or India or all of Europe is putting per year into their infrastructure. And I don't see how the hell you can say that we're catching up or maintaining first place when we're putting barely a trickle into it. Mm. I would try and make sure that there were term limits on everybody, including congressional people. Mm-hmm. I would want them to not be able to do insider trading. Nancy Pelosi can go fuck herself if she thinks that's not going to be illegal. And let's see. I would make sure that the House, the Senate, etc., their pay cannot be raised without having a proportional increase to the minimum wage of that district. So I would make sure that they can't be getting away with having $300,000, $400,000 salaries for what? For doing what exactly? Sitting on their ass and jerking off for 5 months out of the year, then coming back, reconciling a budget barely, passing another law to bomb some brown kids in Iran, and then fucking off again? Absolutely. Why am I giving you my tax money? Ridiculous. Actually doing something about climate change, maybe buying more solar panels from China since they're the ones producing 70-something% of the damn things. Maybe actually using the Great Plains for wind farms instead of, I don't know, oil. Just things like that. Having just common sense sexual education. Include LGBT people in sexual education and health so that way we don't have to learn from bad pornos and creepy old people. That'd probably be good. Just basic common sense things. I'm not looking to radically transform the country. I'm looking to do something to prove that we belong to be in the upper echelons, right? Because I think it's a bunch of bullshit that our country claims that we're number one. But yet when you look at any actual like international ranking system, we aren't number one in any capacity. So it's like either stop lying or improve yourself so that you don't have to, you know? And I feel like joining other developed or developing nations in terms of our policies would probably be better than just sitting around and waiting for us to decay again. Because that's what we've been. We've been declining and decaying for about 30 years, if not that. Probably more than that, if I'm being honest, but I don't know. I wasn't alive, so can't really speak to that.
Yeah, well, you brought up an interesting point earlier about how both sides tend to not want to work together at all. And a lot of people would argue that, like, how is somebody like AOC, who's very liberal, supposed to try and reach an agreement with somebody like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's on the opposite end of the spectrum, who believes that there are Jewish space lasers? Like, it just seems like not only is there disagreements on principle, but there's just a sense of not being in the same reality. So how do you say, you know, to the people who say, well, you can't work with the other side because of X, Y, and Z?
Well, let me put it this way, right? Like, so my father, I love him dearly. He is getting better. Right? Let's put it that way. But when he was in the midst of his first cancer treatment and was a little psychotic, let's be fair, like, he used to believe things like, you know, climate change isn't real, evolution isn't real, Donald Trump is a sign of the rapture because he's moving the embassy to Jerusalem, and therefore it's a sign of the end times. So the end of the day, you really can't argue with that. Again, you can't argue with emotion, right? Like, you can't say your feelings are wrong, fuck you, because, and you also can't claim the other side are just idiots. Even if what they're saying isn't necessarily accurate, or it makes zero sense logically, coming at somebody and treating them like they aren't worth anything doesn't work. So I think if AOC were to come at Miss Jewish Space Laser and say, you're an idiot, you're a failure, what you believe is wrong, well, that doesn't get anyone anywhere. Like, yes, I think she'd be right. Yes, there is no Jewish space laser. But at the end of the day, that doesn't help anybody, right? Like, you might win, like, an intellectual superiority victory by saying, I'm so much smarter than them, I'm so much better than them, they're all idiots. But at the end of the day, who does that help? So I think that the only way that you really can, in this situation, work with somebody is by just saying, all right, you believe there's a Jewish space laser. That's cool. But what about healthcare? How can we ensure that we stay on topic with actual tangible issues, right? Mm-hmm. The propaganda war, the culture war, I think it's all a bunch of bullshit that people are using to try and divide people. I think most people are pretty rational. Most people are pretty reasonable. They're average, ordinary people that just want their lives to be improved. So if you stick to issues, not culture war issues, not the Jewish space laser, not are trans people real, just stick with, okay, you think that, we're going to agree to disagree. What do you think about healthcare and the fact that big pharma can control everything, right? What do you think about getting money out of politics? Why should a corporation be classified as an individual and be allowed to make, you know, unlimited political donations, right? You can talk about that. Mm-hmm. And that generally I've had good conversations with people on the other side or people on both sides, really, by just saying your culture war stuff, cool, we'll talk about that later, and then talking about actual issues. We never get around to the culture war stuff. But in general, that's how I think that you can do it.
Hmm.
Right.
No, I completely agree. I think the way I view politics a lot of the time is when you bring up an idea like healthcare, it's like one side is like, yeah, completely for universal healthcare, let's do it. And the other side is like, no, we can't do it. And I would rather come to a point where both sides can be like, okay, well, there's universal healthcare in the developed world, and mm-hmm. it's not perfect. So how do we take what they have and not only, you know, fix the issues, but make it better than their system, right? It's either yes. you're just completely for or against something. So would you like to see maybe more of like coming together in terms of just like not being opposed or for something, but just like trying to understand something and seeing what we can do to incorporate it into our daily lives?
Well, you're talking about moderation. You know, I don't think a single person is right about everything, right? Mm. I think that most people believe that they're wholeheartedly right about everything. But what I've learned, you know, growing up, becoming not a child, is that I don't know quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And the more confident that I am in an economic or political position, the more likely it is that I've missed something. And that's especially true even with my economics degree, is that you're constantly learning new things, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of people are, you know, they barricade themselves in their walls and they say, okay, well, I believe this and I believe this thing on principle. Therefore, everything about this principle is correct. Because if it's not, then I have to rethink my principle. Mm. And I think that that's hard. But I think it's really, really important to constantly be examining your principles and your beliefs and saying, okay, I might be wrong about this, right? I had to do that a lot growing up, because when I was coming out, it was, what, 2013 or whatever, so it was almost 10 years ago. And, you know, I was a teenager, and I had to really just look at myself in the eyes and say, all right, number one, who the hell are you? What's the good about you? What's the bad about you? What's the truly awful, terrible shit that you have about you as a person? All right, what do you believe? Why do you believe it, right? And no matter what, if this older gay person is telling you to believe this way, or if your parents are telling you to believe that way, all right, let's pretend that they're right. What about that makes you happy? What about them being right makes you upset, right? And sort of just diving into everyone's position and who they wanted you to become and who you wanted to be and saying why, yeah. Right? And I think that's what everyone has to do if they're going to work together. Mm-hmm. And it's not fun, and it's not a good, it's not a fun process. It's not a kind of process, but it is, I think, the best way to go about really understanding where you stand and being willing to accept change. Because even though I did that when I was, you know, 14, I had to be willing to say, all right, I'm 17 now. What do I think? I'm 19 now. What do I think? And constantly reevaluate my positions and be willing to let other people change my mind, right? Mm. Because otherwise, I'd be stagnant, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that anyone is 100% right about anything. So as a result, you know, if you're saying, you know, can we have moderation? Can we bring this back to, you know, away from extremes and saying you're 100% right or you're 100% wrong, just admitting that no one has 100% of the answers and that maybe the other side has a point. Mm. And if they do have a point, what does that mean? Right. And examining that back to the root. Right. Mm-hmm. And if that changes your perspective on something and you're scared of that, that's a good thing. You have to be scared in order to change your position, because it shakes you from your comfort zone. And the only way that someone grows is by completely being shaken. Mm-hmm. Right. Trauma to your system, to your belief system, I think is really important. Because you're not supposed to barricade yourselves in walls, right? And too often, I think that when we abandoned religion back in the 1940s and 50s, we replaced that religious ideology with politics. And we replaced that certainty with political figures. And we said, well, instead of thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this God is correct, everything in the Bible is correct, and if I think elsewhere, if I ever look elsewhere, I'm a heathen who's going to go to hell. Now we think, well, I've built my entire life around these ideals. I am a lifelong Democrat. I am a lifelong Republican. If I start questioning this, what are my friends going to think? What are my family going to think? Who am I as a person? Am I a bad person for thinking this? Well, no, that can't be it. Well, I don't really think that. No. They must be wrong. The other side is wrong. I know what I think. And it seems a lot to me like my religious aunt who is not going to look outside her walls, right? I don't want to be like that. I don't think people should generally be like that. You know, you constantly have to have a curious mind. I don't know. Does that make sense, or did that even touch on your question?
No, I think it really does touch on a lot of things. So personally, when you bring up politics or politics are brought up in any given conversation with an individual, how do you navigate that? Are you worried of sharing like your ideas and beliefs? Do you feel like you don't really care what the other person thinks? How does the other person react to what you think?
Well, I mean, that doesn't depend on the person and the situation. I mean, I think it's all contextual, right? I mean, of course, sometimes I worry about what the person's going to think. You know, you don't want to, I mean, I guess sometimes I don't really care if I hurt people's feelings, because I think oftentimes that's more helpful than skirting around the truth, right? Certainly my friends have never been shy about hurting my feelings. I have friends who are, you know, left-leaning. I have friends who are right-leaning. I have friends who are pretty far right. I have friends that are very far left. I mean, you're allowed to disagree. I love putting them in rooms together. but in general, like, I think that the way that I approach politics, and I think my boyfriend has been very instrumental in this, because again, I used to oscillate between far left and far right, just, you know, depending on the day, especially during my experimentation sort of phase. And my boyfriend is really the one who would sit me down and say, well, like, why do you think that? And really make me like explain logically why I believed that. And he'd say, okay, well, that sounds really fucking stupid. or, okay, that makes sense, and sort of challenge me. And so that's sort of how I take it, not quite as comfortably, because obviously I'm not dating these people. You don't just, you know, confront people in your day to day. I think if it's someone that you're friends with, I tend to just say, hey, this is what I think. What do you think? And the people that I'm friends with have absolutely no problem telling me, hey, Ben, that makes no sense. And they also have no problem telling me, oh, I completely agree with you, right? And that's coming from every side of the political spectrum, right? I'm not friends with people who aren't going to be honest with me. And then if it's a complete stranger, you know, obviously you don't launch into, here's why I think that China's science program is incredible, right? You don't launch into that, or you don't launch into, we need to nationalize our healthcare, or our school system is terrible and Common Core should be abolished. You don't launch into extreme positions like some sort of psychopath. You know, you try and get to know a person as a person. You know what I mean? Politics, I've noticed, rarely come up with people you're trying to have an honest conversation with. You know what I mean? When I'm at work, or I'm at the grocery store, or I'm talking to some older person or some younger person, we don't lead with politics. Like, hi, I'm Benjamin, I'm a guy, I'm gay, and also I hate the Democrats. Like, no, you don't do that, right? You start with, hi, I'm Ben, and then you work into different subjects, right? You have to build a level of trust before you're willing to talk about sensitive topics, right? And again, just don't start with extreme positions. Like, get off the internet. You know what I mean? Most people aren't on Twitter, thank God. And they get to actually, like, talk about hobbies or TV shows or interests. And most people don't give a shit about politics. Truly, they don't. They care about, you know, what new recipes have you learned? What TV shows do you like? Who are you as a person, as an individual, right? This whole political division, I think it's surface level in a lot of cases. And I think that when you really try to get to know people and try to have conversations with them, the politics sort of fade in the background. And when they do come up, you're allowed to just say, okay, that's interesting. I don't necessarily agree, but I'm interested in hearing about that more another time. Mm-hmm. I think, generally speaking, this, right? A very neutral way of just saying it. Like, yeah, I don't necessarily agree. I'm interested in learning more about your position. Here's what my basic position is, you know? Generally speaking, approaching people respectfully, even if what they say, it sounds crazy, I think works. I mean, there's a reason why I am able to have friends from all over the political spectrum. It's because I don't treat people like they're wrong by default because they don't agree with me. Because again, as I've said, a lot of times I don't know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot in the world that I don't understand. So the more receptive you are towards other people, I think that the more easy it is to have a political conversation.
I don't know. That. No, I love that. So as I had mentioned earlier, midterms are coming up. They tend to be much lower turnout in terms of voters than the presidential election. What do you think would be a good strategy in terms of just getting more people to come out and vote in the midterms?
Are you talking about a specific political party strategy?
Because... No, just in general. I mean, anybody from any party can vote, but it just seems people aren't. And
why should you, really? I mean, realistically speaking, when you have Congress at, like, what? Like, a 10% approval rating? I'm exaggerating, but you know what I mean? At the end of the day, how do you encourage people to vote in a system that's fundamentally broken, right? Like, the idea that you need to get the Democrats and Republicans joint approval to have a legitimate third party be permanently on the ballot. I mean, come on, we know that. We know why that is. We know that it's because the two parties are collaborating behind the scenes to ensure that they can continue their little proxy war uninterrupted, right? So, like, a lot of people feel that it's completely pointless to vote. I mean, oh, wow, I'm going to get to vote for another candidate who won't do jack shit. Wow, what an opportunity. I'm so glad I live in the land of the free, right? At the end of the day, I don't know how you do it because the Democrats keep lying to people and saying, we care so much, we care so much, we care so much. Oh my God, we'll suck your dick for a vote. And then nothing actually changes. So at the end of the day, what's the point of voting for a Democrat? And then the Republicans say, oh my God, we're going to protect you. We're going to save your family from the monsters under your bed. And then again, they do jack shit except for blowing up another $1.2 trillion jet. So at the end of the day, why should I vote for a Republican who's going to do jack shit, right? And plus, why the hell is Nancy Pelosi still in charge? Why are we letting a corpse dictate us? I didn't realize we were under the Egyptian mummification fund. Anyways, as long as these people are in power, they're going to keep fucking with everybody, right? So I don't know how you would encourage people to vote because Lord knows I'm depressed enough as it is. I mean, I think that I'm voting just because I'm hoping that, well, really, truly, I'm hoping that eventually the Democrats and the Republicans will both mutually pull their heads off of each other's clits and actually focus for once and actually do something because clearly they want basically the same thing, get more money for war so they can bomb more brown kids. But at the end of the day, if we can siphon off some of that money towards other causes, maybe we can actually like have something move in the country. And perhaps I'm delusional, but that's why I'm going to vote, just in the faint glimmer of hope that I have that we might someday change something. Right. So I don't think there is a strategy from me because I am not that hopeful of a person. Right. I'm hopeful on an individual level, not necessarily on a national one. So I don't think that I am the person to ask about voting turnout because I think both parties have destroyed so much goodwill with their patrons, with their voter base, that I don't really see a way for you to get underneath that cynicism at the moment. I really don't. I mean, I think that the reason why you saw such a large turnout in 2018 was just because they were able to scare up a boogeyman in Trump, right? He was the epitome of all the Democrats' worst fears. And the media was working full time to drum up hate against him, right? And drum up fear against him and make sure that if you don't vote in this election, the world's going to end. It's like 2012 all over again. I'm old enough to remember that shit. And remember back when the Mayan calendar was found and they were convinced that everyone was like, oh my God, the world's going to end. Same thing with Trump, right? And lo and behold, we're still here. I'm still here, motherfuckers. I'm like a cockroach. You can't quite get rid of me yet. And so, I don't know, man. I know I've been talking in circles, but really and truly, I don't really know what you would do.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, leave it up to other people.
Well, on that hopeful note, I want to thank you again for coming on. And yeah, do you have any final thoughts, final words that you'd like to impart onto the listeners?
Yes, I do. I want people to look beyond short term and think long term, right?
Mm.
I think bit of a tangent, I suppose, but I think all too often people don't seem to understand that what comes around goes around.
Yeah.
And for example, like, let's widen the Supreme Court, right? Why not? The Democrats are in power. So why not widen it? Why not make it 25 seats? Fuck it. Pack it full. Okay, great idea. What happens when the Republicans eventually get back in charge? Which will happen. That's how life works. You're not going to stop the wheel from spinning, right? Unless you blow up half the country, mm-hmm. right? So what's going to stop them? Are you going to change the laws so that they can't pack the court? Are you going, how exactly are you going to do this? The only way that you can survive that is by fundamentally destroying democracy, right? So you have to think long term, not just short term. And you have to realize that by destroying and eroding democratic norms, even if it's for what you deem to be a good cause, you're ultimately weakening the system that you claim to protect. And that will end in disaster for everyone, because there is no guarantee that the Republicans won't just do the same thing. And then what stops the Democrats from going and doing it? Are we going to have a Supreme Court of every citizen in America? Like, what is the end goal here? How many people do you want? And we're going to end the filibuster for this. Well, it would benefit the Democrats' agenda to end a filibuster, right? Why would the Republicans not use that when they get back in power? Why would they not use that? Like, at the end of the day, these protections, this separation of, you know, church and state, or these three branches of government, or the laws that are in place are meant to prevent abuses. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you start getting rid of the protections so that you can get ahead temporarily, you risk destroying long-term success and happiness just because you want to get a one-up goal in your popularity contest, or you want to get a one-up on your political rival. And ultimately, that's not how you get things done. And going back to long term, the way that you change people's minds and the way that you get people to work together, going back to the beginning of this conversation,
mm-hmm.
is by working long term and by getting to know people on an individual basis and trying to just understand one another, right? Not trying to convince each other of things, not trying to force your opinion down someone's throat, but genuinely trying to reach a consensus, trying to understand one another. It's a long term process. It doesn't change in 6 months. Right? You don't change someone from being a crazy liberal or a crazy conservative into being whatever you want them to be, mm-hmm. right? Over 6 months. Happens over years. And you also have to allow yourself to be open towards changing yourself. Maybe you're a crazy conservative or a moderate or a crazy liberal right now. That's fine. Open yourself up to change. Open yourself up to what actually might be around the corner and see what happens 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You have to just not think short term. That's what I would leave people with.
Mm. Beautiful message. Well, that's a much more hopeful way to end it.
I apologize.
But thank you again for coming on, Ben, and thank you again for listening.